A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to Mary, the angel said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what he said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his ancestor. He will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing is impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. This is the gospel of the Lord. We read this gospel today because today, the 12th of September, is the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. It was Father John Mary's feast day, and it was a feast which disappeared from our calendar for a number of years, except in certain places. I know it was always celebrated in Bavaria, for example, maybe in other countries too, but in this part of the world it disappeared, but has been brought back to the calendar just, I think, last year. And so this gospel is chosen because of the line in St. Luke where he talks about the angel going to Nazareth, and he says, "And the virgin's name was Mary." So today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Name of Mary. And yet, there's something very appropriate in having this gospel on the day of the Novena when we think of the sixth sorrow of Mary, which is the taking down from the cross and Mary receiving into her arms the dead body of Jesus. That picture which we see, as Father Augustine said, on the 13th station, and also which is here on this side of the altar in the Pietà, very vividly represented there. And we have in the Gospel of this feast of the Holy Name of Mary and in the sixth sorrow which we celebrate on this day of the Novena, if you like, the beginning and the end of the story. The first moment of the earthly life of Jesus, when the angel comes to tell Mary that she has been chosen to be the mother of the Savior. And that last moment when Mary holds in her arms for the last time the body of Jesus, her son. And what was in Mary's mind and heart in that moment? We've heard both Father Augustine and Father Anthony talk about how, because Mary was without sin, her capacity to suffer, to feel suffering, was so much greater. And in that moment, as she holds the dead body of Jesus in her arms, what is in her mind and heart? I wonder, did she go back to those words Jesus himself had spoken at the raising of Lazarus? The gospel doesn't tell us that Mary was present in that occasion, but as Lazarus and Martha and Mary were among Jesus' closest friends, it's quite reasonable to think that our Blessed Lady was there at the tomb of Lazarus also. And remember the words Jesus spoke to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will never die." And did those words come into Mary's mind as she held in her arms the body of her son? And did she wonder at the truth of those words? You know, we always have this very exalted picture of our Blessed Lady, which is right. But if we talk about the humanity of Jesus, then we have to try always to bear in mind the humanity of his mother. And in this moment, when she holds in her arms the lifeless body of Christ, what a test of faith that was. And those words of Jesus, which spoke about eternal life, what a struggle there must have been, even in the heart of one who was sinless, to reconcile those words with the experience of her senses, holding the weight of a lifeless body. You know, in these seven sorrows of Mary, in some of them there are words that are spoken. So in the first sorrow, for example, Simeon speaks to Mary in the temple. In the second sorrow, not to Mary, but to Joseph, the word of the angel is given. In the third sorrow, there is a dialogue between Jesus and our Blessed Lady when she finds him in the temple. In the fifth sorrow, which we contemplated yesterday, we have the words of Jesus from the cross addressed to Mary, "Woman, behold your son." But there are other sorrows which are lived in silence, when no words are spoken. And the first of those is the meeting on the way to Calvary, the fourth sorrow, which is also the fourth station. And we don't have recorded any words which were spoken. But still there is communication. Jesus looks at Mary and Mary looks at Jesus. But in this sixth sorrow, there is a different kind of silence. In the fourth sorrow, there was that exchange of love which was there in looking at each other. But in this sixth sorrow, it's a silence so much more profound because the body of Jesus is lifeless. And for the first time, Mary has to communicate with Jesus in a different way. For the first time, she cannot speak to his human ears. She cannot look into his eyes and know that he looks back. She cannot touch his hand and feel his touch against her hand. And this is something so different, because the only sight, the only sound is that of faith. And the physical, human, day-to-day contact, which was even there, in a sense, on the cross, is over. And this sorrow of Mary is about faith. It's about Mary's faith as she holds in her arms the lifeless body of Jesus, her son. And how many words of Jesus, and indeed how many words of the Old Testament, must have flooded into her mind during those moments which must have seemed like an eternity. The words of the prophet Isaiah, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our infirmities." The words of Jesus himself, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden light." And did she think of those words as she held the burden, the weight of the body of Jesus, her son? This sorrow also speaks to us about the mystery of compassion. And what the mystery of compassion means for those who have faith in Jesus. You know, compassion isn't just being kind to animals, patting babies on the head, or kissing babies, or anything like that. But compassion in our relationship with Jesus means entering deeply into the mystery of his suffering. And through our own pain, and through our own sorrow, experiencing in some way the depth of his compassionate love on Calvary. And as Mary holds the body of Jesus, that mystery of compassion, which has been unfolding throughout her life, through her relationship with her Son and Savior, that mystery of compassion reaches its deepest point. Because to human eyes, it seems as if it's all over. And to human eyes, it seems also as if it's all over for no reason. A worthless death, a pointless death. And Mary, holding in her arms the dead Jesus, enters deeply through love into the mystery of his suffering and allows her own heart to be broken in union with the pierced heart of Jesus where the lance had gone before he was taken down from the cross. And we too, through our prayer, when we meditate on the Passion of Christ, when we read the Gospel of the Passion, we're called not just to see it as a story, not just to see it as a lesson from which we draw some examples for our life, but we're called to enter deeply into that mystery and to experience in our own mind and heart and soul something of the experience of Jesus, which is what Mary did at the foot of the cross. That prayer we sang yesterday at the beginning of Mass sums up something of what we seek when we pray in that way in union with Mary at the foot of the cross, the Stabat Mater, at the cross her station keeping. And there are verses there later in the prayer which say, make me feel as thou hast felt. Make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ my Lord. O thou Mother, fount of love, touch my spirit from above. Make my heart with thine accord. As we contemplate this mystery of the sick sorrow, as we contemplate it with faith, sharing in Mary's faith, we contemplate it as a mystery of compassion. And we ask the Lord to give us that deep compassion, which is love for him, the love that is in Mary's heart, that it may be also in ours. Make me feel as thou hast felt. Make my soul to glow and melt with the love of Christ my Lord.
Now please join with me in the prayer, the sixth sorrow. Most sorrowful Mother, sorrow filled your heart when the adorable body of your divine Son was taken down from the cross and laid in your arms. I wish to join with you in this sorrow and ask you to obtain for me the grace to receive Jesus into my soul before I die, so that I may be perfectly united to him forever in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I would like you also to pray for a brother of mine who is in hospital in Limerick. He's having some tests done. And we also remember the general intention of this novena. We pray for vocations to the priesthood, the religious life, and especially to our own Passionist congregation. O most holy and afflicted Virgin, Queen of Martyrs, who stood on Mount Calvary when your Son was in agony, by the sword of sorrow which pierced your heart, by the sufferings of your whole life on earth, by your unspeakable joy in heaven, look down with maternal pity and tenderness as I kneel before you to sympathize with your sorrows and to place my petition with childlike confidence in your wounded heart. I beg of you, dear Mother, to plead for me with your divine Son, since he can refuse you nothing, and through the merits of his most sacred passion and death, together with your own suffering at the foot of the cross, so to move his heart, I may this request. To whom shall I go in my need and misery, if not to you, O Mother most merciful, you who pity us poor exiles still sighing in this valley of tears? Offer to Jesus for us but one drop of his most precious blood, but one pang of his loving heart. Remind him that you are our life, our sweetness, and our hope, for our prayer on my behalf will be heard. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your clemency hear me.